Hey, you guys. My name's Ben. I'm fighting off a bit of a head cold, so if I go into a sneezing fit or something, I apologize in advance. Move this far a little bit. I grew up in and around the Seattle area and Seattle proper. My entire life just came from there. And this is actually a discussion that I've had 1,000 times. Being someone who travels and has hooked up with other activists and organizations all over the world, even to this day and for the first, 5 years after 99, it was always like, whoa, man, you're from Seattle? The Bear Kids are still in the streets there? Is revolution still there? And it's like, oh, boy, we've got a lot to talk about, Like, let's sit down, let's have a cup of tea and discuss what's going on. But for me, Seattle was always... Oh, speaking loud, sorry, guys. Seattle was always a working class town that I grew up in, kind of dingy, kind of weird, known for Microsoft and Nirvana and bad heroin addiction. And it started going through a pretty amazing development and gentrification process in the years leading up to the WTO. Like they enjoy doing cities and governments with these summits is they like to use them as, in my view, icing on the cake, Being like, look at us, look at our city. We can hold this international summit. And that's what they did in Seattle with the WTO is tried to tack that on as they're like, we're a big city now. We can do this thing. And kind of, in a way, complete the process of gentrification and development. And for me... I'm 26 now. I was 16 then. So it was really nice to hear Indu talk about the lead up to the event, the summit in Seattle, because I was only very freshly politicized at that time. I had an older brother, hooked me up with some literature, talked to me about a lot of things, and it was really important to me. But at that time, I was just 15 and, watching my city change and being a little bummed out about it, and had a friend come up to me, a year before me, like, do you know the WTO is coming to town? I was like, what's the WTO? And he's like, there's going to be riots. And I was like, what's going on, so it was this lead up and this change of the city that really took me back and helped politicize me as an individual. The actual event in itself has been, yes, well documented. And I don't think that there's any need for me to talk about it and what happened there. But what is more important to me to talk about is what happened afterwards when everyone left and the years subsequent to that. Everyone left except actually a fairly decent contingent of people who did stick around and organized very hard and very well for everyone who was detained, imprisoned, and that was amazing. And there was a lot of really beautiful groundwork that was put together during and after the WTO in Seattle. And that was something that has and still transformed the city. There was the event, and then there was afterwards, which spawned so many things, which at this point have now drifted off, faded away in Seattle, but they were there and they were very, very present for a long time. One of the main things that happened in Seattle afterwards was I equate it to what I've just watched happen in a neighborhood in a town just south of Seattle that was going through a lot of gang violence and gentrification at the same time. It was they set up satellite police stations, one every 15 blocks, to help control and be more present on an aggravated population. And I watched them the 4 to 5 years afterwards do the same thing to, say, between Eugene and Seattle. Eugene's in Oregon, for those who don't know. This became a very difficult tool to deal with for organizing after Seattle. There was really, really tough imprisonment and a lot of undercover FBI agents, and it seemed like they were everywhere. and you couldn't escape them. And a week would go by, and then you'd hear about a new friend who was put in prison, you know? And not just, you know, oh, he got arrested or whatever. It's like, no, he's doing 5 to 10 because he said the wrong thing, you know? And this was especially intense after September 11th, where they had already put in position all of these satellites of the federal government and state authorities. And then with the pass of the Patriot Act, were able to have the tools that they needed to actually enact the things that they wanted, which was to completely quash the movement in general that was existing still on the West Coast, the anti-capitalist movement, or on the West Coast, we called it the anti-globalization movement. This became a huge problem, a huge organizing issue. It really did lock the fear into us, you know? To just understand that, like, you really, really had to think about the decisions you were going to make. You know, they could mean for the next 5 years of your life in prison. You know? Or the things that you were going to say to people you didn't know. Their tactics after the WTO were incredibly effective. Incredibly effective. I can't speak about that strongly enough. And they caught us unawares as people who are organizing politically and radically. They really took the wind out of us. That, and also going from a local person in Seattle and then someone who got more involved in organizing on the West Coast and in Seattle after that, I mean, I was amped, you know? I was just like, yeah. Everyone left and I was still like, yeah, you know, like riding that inertia and just having that slowly putter out, you know. It was difficult, and to this day we still haven't. I mean, people have done some really cool things and looked at some really cool angles, but I feel that we haven't really, as organizers and people trying to organize, haven't dealt with the fact that we were completely outmaneuvered on the West Coast. And it's something that we're definitely still struggling with today. Seattle today has not a lot of the things that I saw going on for it 2 years afterwards, after 99. Like right now, we're even having trouble keeping our indie media center going. It's barely hanging in there, you know? And a lot of that is because, as I mentioned, we got forced out, so to speak, and we got silenced properly. So it's a really, looking at Seattle and then Seattle to San Francisco, where I kind of have had my base, it's been a consistent issue and one that we've had many discussions and meetings about. And hopefully, through discussion afterwards and just in general in the future, we can take a better look at how to deal with our design of how we want to go forward and move forward and keep that inertia going and not have the wind taken out of us like that. But the crackdown was the smackdown, and it came a couple years ago, the worst, and that was in the form of the Green Scare. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but it was something that happened on the West Coast primarily. Anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, if it was happening all over the United States by a different name or by the same. But that, I won't go specifically into that. We don't have a lot of time, but that was another tool used by the Patriot Act and by the government, state and federal, to keep that inertia down that was created from WTO in 99. And that, in particular, really gave a lot of people really long prison sentences and was made us rethink and attempt to restructure like how we are looking at things, and brought the paranoia, which is kind of a downer, you know. But now I feel like at this point in Seattle and on the West Coast, we're trying to figure these things out and get our inertia moving again. The anti-globalization movement, anti-capitalist movement, moving out of from Seattle, and in my experience, we were taking people and sending them down to FTAA in Miami, and getting people down to Mexico, you know, and just in regards to us, like, trying to get people and contingents down from the Northwest to these places and keep that inertia going and that solidarity going with these other places and these other towns, you know, and keep that flowing. And I went to several of those as well, you know. And in retrospect, I know now we call that summit hopping. And in retrospect, let's think that that is something that we've tried to take a really good hard look at, is what were we doing when we were summit hopping? What were we doing with our resources? Like, how were they being used and what were their priorities? It's something we're still talking about today, and I'm personally still thinking about. And it goes along, just along those same lines for me and for a lot of us on in the Northwest, is how do you keep it local and keep it international? You know, how do you walk that gray line and prioritize the amount of energy that you have as a group of people, as a movement, you know, that's also systematically under attack? And how do you keep that inertia moving forward locally and internationally? And it's a really tough question. And on top of that, how do you keep it from being commodified, you know, which is another really hard topic to deal with. In my experience with summit hopping and trying to keep that inertia alive in my hometown and internationally, I was really taken aback and kind of disenfranchised by going to these large summits after Seattle. They were not as easy to begin with. They were the defense was much more well planned by the cities and by the authorities at B in those places. And it brought a lot of discouragement down, the feeling down in when you would go to one of these summits. And it also really showed me that in my ways, in my point of view from what I saw, was that we were also recreating a lot of the same social stereotypes from our normal mainstream society within our movement. Everything from who's cool to cool, you know, name dropping what summit and where you've been, you know, and dividing ourselves very intensely along these very bizarre social lines. And it was a big problem that I've seen and that we've talked a lot about in the Northwest and specifically in Seattle, because there was critique and there was issues around violence versus nonviolence and this and that during and after Seattle. But there felt like there was a lot more unity in the actual event, you know? And then coming to, you know, say, the WTO demonstrations in Mexico several years later, I felt that unity and saw that unity wasn't there anymore. It felt like lines had been drawn and the blocks had been made and everybody had their own angle and we weren't really working together anymore. We were moving in the same direction, but not together. And that's just my personal critique, my personal thoughts from what I saw, and something that, you know, we can all think about, and I'm going to continue thinking about in regards to just keeping the inertia flowing and moving. I don't know how I'm doing on time. But I guess I'll close with Seattle now. I spoke a little bit about it earlier, but Seattle is now a posh, expensive little version of San Francisco. And when I say that, I mean San Francisco is one of the most expensive places to live in the United States. And we've gone from the WTO to that now in Seattle, where the best thing that we get now a lot of times is a march permitted against the war from one school to one center in downtown. If there's a march, it's just like, you know where to go, don't even need to read the poster, you know? And it's taken some tough blows, the city has, and the movement in that city. And it's trying to be recuperated, But since and after the WTO, we lost a lot of that. And it's something that I think about when I go to a summit, is I'm going to come to this town, I'm going to participate, and what's going to happen to it afterwards? You know? Are they going to face the same kind of political repression that Seattle did? Is this town going to stay and become completely developed and gentrified as well? You know? Like, if so, should I be sticking around? Should I have even came here in the first place? And just seeing what happened to Seattle, my hometown, makes me think of that specifically. So I hope I didn't leave too many open critiques or anything, and ask me lots of questions afterwards if you feel like it. But those are just some of my thoughts and reflections of being and growing up in Seattle. Thanks for listening.